many of us have come into the knowledge of the Lord at a lot older age. But again, thank God we made it in. Right? So it doesn't matter. But it is awesome to be able to get them there at an early age. Amen. So this is really, really important what God is doing. I'm going to continue on this week. I shared with y'all I would that truth is the way. And God is really, we had a new members class yesterday, and there's some, with everybody that was in that class, would y'all just stand up for me for a minute, that was in that class yesterday. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I just needed y'all to know.
Amen.
I wanted everybody to see, but again, how y'all need to know that God sent you even for me, because there's been just this resurgent in me and this excitement about what God has called us to do and who he's called us to be. And to those of you that were in that class yesterday, I left out of here. I was just bubbling up, full of joy, just to have the opportunity to teach the word of God and truth. Somebody give the Lord a round of applause. It was so good. And even to the point, you know, nobody even really wanted to leave right away. It was like we were just hanging out for a little bit. And it was just great. And it also is in line with what I'm doing and where I'm at now.
What do you say?
Because I've been teaching about truth. I've been talking about being connected and how the enemy would love to separate us and isolate us. Because his job is steal, kill, and destroy. And there is power in unity. And there's safety in a multitude of counsel. And so if he can isolate you, separate you, get you into a place where you're only hearing you, he's got a really, really good chance of beating you up and taking you in and out. And I want to encourage you about staying connected and being connected, because it is important to your growth and to the next level in which God wants to take you. See, it's important. See, kingdom building is about levels. And so even all life is about levels. And so we start one place when we were born. And let me just talk about me. I think I was about 9 pounds, 2 ounces.
That's a big baby.
But, big baby, but I'm a lot bigger than that now.
That's a big baby.
And because of what? Growth and levels. And so, God has commissioned this ministry, this church, these leaders that are here to continue to build and build upon the premises of his kingdom into the lives of those of them that he sent and recognized the sound. This is so important because we're living in an hour where there's so much half-truths. And I need you to understand, a half-truth is still a lie. And the enemy has penetrated and infiltrated into the place of it because he can make things sound like. But when you know that you know that you know, your conscience and your spirit man will reject it because it knows what we don't know. That's why it's the spirit man. See, when God, he said Adam was a living soul, but until he breathed into him to give him his spirit, it was necessary because it would be the spirit man that can help us later to guide us into all truth. And without it, we won't get there. My flesh just wants what it wants, when it wants it. Come on, I guess I'm the only one who will tell the truth. But my spirit man will reject what is not right and tell me, so that's when my conscience kicks in and says something. So without these things and seeing, being led and guided by the Holy Spirit, and this is so important because, again, I need the people of God to know the truth is necessary for your growth. Why is it necessary? I want to talk to you. There's something called good growth, and there's something called bad growth. I'm going to give you a quick example of what that is. I got a splinter in my hand one time, and I woke up the next morning, and my thumb was twice the size of its original size. It grew overnight, but it was bad growth because what it had done is swell, and the piece of wood that had gotten in my hand had caused an infection in my hand, and so it fills it up with what's called a pus, okay, which is not healthy for your body, but it made my sweat my finger twice the size. That's bad growth. In fact, it didn't take much to inflate it. But good growth builds upon and strengthens muscles and tissues that build us to a place that makes us healthier and whole. And so I want to commission Harvest that we are on a track for good growth in our lives. And I want to tell you, it's important. See, a good tree and a strong tree can stand the time and the test of storms. Storms will blow and wind will come and hail could, and the tree still standing. We may see the leaves and the branches bending, but the tree is still standing. That's what we need to become. And so I learned something a little bit about trees, and I like arborism and the things and plants, things of that nature. And the tree over the years you can tell how old the tree is by the rings within sight of it as it grows. They complete circles. I asked myself, what's so important about a complete circle? A complete circle is something that is unbroken. But it also represents what's called a cycle. That's where I get a circle from. So cycles and growth is like life. Life is full of cycles, and it's preparation, okay? And it is times and seasons that God wants to do things in our life. This thing isn't magic. I want to talk to all the people that was in that class yesterday, but I don't want to talk to everybody because the same is for everybody. The cycle is what provides the growth. So when one cycle is complete, another cycle begins. Oh, y'all to get excited because that means it's not over just because something ended. It's a new cycle has begun. And we're in that new cycle. We're in that new place. And I want to encourage you and all of you that can see, because God, I told you this, I'm fired up right now. I met with my leadership team again this morning, and I said, we can't let this thing go. And he had already placed it on their hearts. So they was already repeating it. And when I said what I said, they were already in agreement. Because God had already ministered to them why this was so important. And for Harvest, you said, well, why is it so important? Because, see, the enemy tried to take us out. It's 26 years. Let me share with you. There's a lot of churches that are still not standing after COVID. COVID changed a whole lot of things. And I know it's 5 years later since it first hit, but it had a major effect on ministries and groups that could not stand the test of time. Oh, it was a storm. Somebody say, but God. He allowed us to bend, but we did break. Somebody shout hallelujah. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14. I'm going to go to my notes that I didn't get to last week and tell you because this is important. So in John chapter 14, verse 6, okay, he makes a statement here, and I want to say it's very, very important. And this is where we're going to take the premises for our message today. The title of today's message is Truth is the Way. So as much as you like to make a way and figure out a way and do all these other things, I shared with you last week as well, I had a compass. And I told you that compass would work whether it had batteries or not, because in fact, it didn't need any batteries. This compass would work in the wilderness. This compass would work in a storm. This compass would work in good times. This compass will work in bad times. This compass would work in sunny weather. It'll work in the nighttime. The day it will work. And the compass I'm talking about is the guide and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Okay, I gave y'all an example of a physical compass that was already, the arrow is triggered to the North Pole and the magnetic field that exists in the earth. And so the compass will spin and start to go so that it can give you the right direction. If nothing else, you need to know what direction am I going. Because if I'm trying to get to a place, I need to know if the place is north of here, I'm not going to reach it if I'm going south. I would also like to tell you, you're not going to reach it if you're going east. Let me go one more time. You're not going to reach it if you're going west. Because it's important to reach our destination. But your destination always has a place that it's been established to. Y'all didn't hear me. Y'all should have been shouting. Your life and who you are and what God has called you to do has already been established and been given a place where it exists. But in order for you to get there, you need to know the way. And if I'm going to know the way, I need to know the direction in which I should be going.
You better.
I don't know about you, but I hate being lost. I love GPS now, right? But what if I told you there's nothing new under the sun?
There's not.
The GPS, it just showed up in your cars, but it's been in the kingdom forever.
Long time.
The Holy Spirit didn't just come. He was released when Jesus went to be with the Father at the right hand. And he said he would be praying for us, intercession, interceding. So he was there while the Holy Spirit is here to reside on the inside of us. Let me share with you, being a Christian and being a child of God, you have a special gift. You've got a built-in compass now. And if you listen to it, you can get to where he wants you to go. I got proof. I got to be able to back up everything I said with scripture. So that he said in the word, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. If he knew me before I was in my mother's womb, then he already had a plan and an idea of who I am and what I could become to be on his behalf. Now, I know there's something called an enemy, an adversary, who is against us. And the reason he's against you is because you were created in the image of God. And if I can keep you from understanding your image, I can use you to help me with my cause. In other words, so that's the enemy. His cause is to be like God. In fact, the first sin did not happen on earth. It happened in heaven, and it was him that did it. He said, he wasn't happy with who he is. Now, I got to tell you, that's a whole other message, because I need you to understand who God created you to be. Nobody else has your fingerprint, and you should not desire to be somebody else. Because otherwise, that means you're aborting what God has given you. Oh, I got to help somebody. Because see, somebody said they're struggling with the man in the mirror. And I'm telling you, you should never be struggling with the man in the mirror because God didn't make a mistake. He can't. You just got to figure out the right direction to go in to get to become who he's called you to be. And there's joy, there's pleasure, and there's excitement in being what God has called you to be. I'm convinced now, so there's no way I don't want to be nobody else. I don't want to think. I just want to be me.
Amen.
Because me is important to him. Y'all getting this? So I want to take you. Let me go to the word. I think I'm getting excited about this because he's still in my heart. So in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said unto him, and he's talking to Thomas, and he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We miss this. Life. Look what it says. Life. I want to remind you, he's not talking about living. He's talking about the life that you desire and you want. But if you're going to get there, I am blessed.
Right.
So this is a help. Right. All of us start to think, well, I want to do this. I want to do that. He has no problem with your life unless your life becomes God. The stuff in it. Remember, he said, no other gods before me. The moment you make something else greater than him, you're in trouble. I mean, just tell you right now, I can help you with that one very easily. Okay, he's the way. And he says, but more than that, I want to tell you the second word. The second word says truth. Truth is something that is scarred here now in our world. Because it's very difficult and challenging through the deception that is now through technology that has existed to see what the truth is. Y'all know they got a big thing, and it's been on there. I shared a little bit last week, but I seen it again on the news this week. People put their picture on the TikTok, and they dancing on the TikTok, right? Particularly young girls, right? And they're putting them on, but they're uploading the picture to another program, and then the program that they're uploading it to, guess what it does? It undresses the people. And it's not their body, but it looks like their body. It matches color and everything. And I'm thinking, look at the enemy. And what is it for somebody else's perverted pleasure?
Terrible.
These truths they're after you to attack you, to take you, and to pull you down. And to take you from being who God's called you to be and take you into this place. And so there's a culture shift right underneath our feet. And so we struggle with the word of God, right? Because it's truth. But many people, and I want to go back to the church, and I'm in the church, I'm one of the people that's in the church, but we got to teach and preach the truth. The Bible's not full of a whole lot of don't do this, don't do that. It really isn't. But we think, oh, it said, don't do this, don't do that. Why don't it? And it said, but what happens is when I get the truth, the word, and the word was in the beginning, and the word was God, and the word was with God, and the word became flesh. What word are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus. Oh, I love the worship this morning. It's talking about in the name of Jesus. So we need to understand that word and how important that word is. Because that word is Jesus. That's why knowing knowledge is power. So I want Faith Harvest and members and people that are listening to me to get to know him and know who he is so they can get to figure out the way.
It should be, but sometimes.
And get to know the truth and then have their life. Jesus.
You know, when you leave the house, it's like, you know, everything is here.
Look at the connection.
And then you do
it'll
stuff, and then you
look at
it, you got
ask me how I know.
But you know what I mean?
I'm living a changed life.
Yeah, problem about it.
So he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Then he said, comes to the Father except me.
Like,
so see what this is important because we're living in a day and there's a ton of people who say, well, he is the only way. Y'all hearing it right now. I know it exists all out there. There's another way. Oh, and then there's all these other ways. And he can't be. This isn't the only religion that'll get you there. Well, when we start talking about faith and all, you got to know that this has to be a lie. You see what I'm saying? Most, because all the others have some good stuff in it, right, that you can do for being a good person. But only one shed blood for you. There's no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. Who shed blood? Which means Muhammad didn't.
Well.
All the other good works didn't. There's no place else except in the Word of God that Jesus was born to die to live again. So today, the truth is, I couldn't come out of my mother's womb again, although he knew me before I was in my mother's womb. And because I came into the world with an infected spirit, he had now allowed me to have a renewed spirit. So I'm born again to change my life for who I am and what he called me to be. So the compass started spinning, and all of a sudden I was going south, and then I been turned around, and this is, you know, I heard in my head and my heart that you're going in the wrong direction. And I turned around and I started taking steps towards where he had called me to be, only to start seeing changes come. But I got to tell you something, in the midst of turning around and getting the truth, oh, there was a storm that showed up. Oh, the storm started blowing, and I didn't know what was going to happen. And the storm was blowing, but then I was able to keep going, and I got to the other side, and all of a sudden the sun came out, and it was shining upon me again, and I could see the sun, and then it was, again, the more I took another step, and something else came, the wind started blowing, and then it made me feel a little shaky. I wasn't sure that I was going to be on solid ground anymore, but then I kept going. I realized this, I would hit a storm, come sunshine. Hit a storm, sunshine. I'm talking to somebody now. I'm going to tell you all about life, right? So, but I had to tell you something. When I looked back over my life, I realized I had come a long way from where I was. Yet, I haven't reached my destination, but I'm no longer where I used to be. Even I came to the conclusion that, I don't know about you, but I've seen some places that were devastated by a storm. But I looked at myself in the mirror and I thought, my God, you've been through some storms, but you don't look like where you've been. In other words, he had covered me and he kept me in the midst of the storm. I'm talking to somebody this morning that's going through some things in there, and you need to think, I'm telling you, he's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life, right? The life that we want. So quickly, I want to go to scriptures. So 2 Peter, 1 Peter, 1 Peter 2:9, I mentioned to you, I got to go there, I want you to get this, so you'll know who you are, and what am I talking about. It says there in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, but you, what is it, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. So I'm talking to the people of God. I'm talking to Faith Harvest this morning. I didn't say this about you. He did. He called you a royal people. Do you understand royalty? If you don't understand who you are, you'll act beneath that. But when you know who you are and who your father is, your head will get a little higher. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. He said this about you, and he knew you said. Oh, let me help you out here. He said that about you, and he knew we were guilty. Is that a loving father or what? In other words, now I can help a parent here, because our children, when they did something we didn't want them to do, we might have been upset, and we might even gave them spankings. And then you was more hurt than they were over giving them the spankings, right? That's the love of a mother or a father. Right? Because right after you was done, you loved on him. You hugged him, or you went right back to being mom or dad. How much more for our Heavenly Father? who created you in his image. And he said, I need to help y'all here because it'll get to me. He said, you are peculiar people.
Strange.
And you know, they think we're strange. So it's okay. I want you to know it's okay to be different.
Amen.
It's okay to be a little strange.
Amen.
Because I tell you, I'm really strange. I know it. And I'm okay with it. Right? Peculiar people. And that you should show forth praises. And so we were praising the name of Jesus today. We're clear, right? And we can do that and have called out because he called me out of darkness.
Into his mind.
Into his mother. Here's what I know about darkness. I was in darkness, didn't even know it because I couldn't see. Oh, let me say that again. I never said that. I was in darkness, didn't even know it because I couldn't see. And I found myself stumbling over all kinds of things.
Yes, yes.
And the moment light showed up in my life, I could now see a whole bunch of things that were causing me the life that I was living that I thought I wanted.
Yes.
Oh, this will help somebody. The life you live in that you thought you wanted. Because you couldn't see it or what was in it because of darkness. But when the light shines on it, you start thinking, oh, I don't want that. I found out there were some things, if you look at some stuff, and it's effective. But you can't see it. So they got some, oh, my good buddy is here. And he just came into church, and I love him, right? But he's an expert at drywalling. There could be damage to the wall, but when he get done, the damage was there, but you can't see it because he fixed it and he covered it up. But it does not mean the damage. And if you don't fix what caused the damage will show up again. Some of y'all, y'all see it on the thing with Carfax and the cars, right? The same thing, right? There's some cars, you look at it and say, these cars are not equal. They look both the same, right? But this one been in an accident. And the one that been in an accident, there's some stuff that may happen that you can't see. This is what the devil has been trying to do to us. See, I want you to know, light exposes the stuff. That truth exposes stuff. And I want all of you to understand, I want you to focus in on truth and light. Because the world is full of a whole lot of other things it wants to feed you. And if you take that in, you can get me misguided. But I'm not telling you you can't live your life. What I'm saying to you, live it with him. I'm clear on what I'm saying because too many people been saying the church this and the church that. I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about Jesus. Now, we might have missed it, and Jesus needs to be in your heart and in your life so he can guide you because he said, I'm the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and you're the life. And I came to the conclusion, it's the life I am interested in living. I want to be blessed. I'm going to be me no matter what. Nobody ain't not going to cheat. Why? Because he called me. My style is my style. And I don't have to be nobody else. And I'm good with that. Oh yeah. I had some people that talk about me. This guy, I got some people here, they know it, they've heard it. They said, this guy, you know what, it's like, he doesn't do what the pastor should, like a pastor should do. What is what a pastor should do? How you gonna pigeonhole me and put me in a place you don't even know what it's supposed to be? See, what a pastor should have a heart. Because he's a shepherd. And a shepherd should have a heart for the sheep. And the sheep is interested that he wants to care for them because he knows they're vulnerable because there's some wolves that want to eat. the sheep. And my job is to protect the sheep. So I got to get my rod and my staff. And sometimes I got to beat off some stuff.
You better beat it, bro.
Or chase it away. But I can't go in fear. Because if I go in fear, it will come after me. I was in the cage. This is true. I was in the cage in Thailand with a lion.
You crazy.
Me and my wife. We were both in there.
You crazy. Right?
And they told me, don't rub the lion soft. Don't be like the lion can sense that you're intimidated and you're scared. But when you rub him strong and hold on him, he now sees you as bigger, as stronger than him. I found out something that day when I was in the cage with the lion. That the lion is not the king of the jungle. Man is. I'm not making me bigger and stronger than the lion. I don't suggest you go try it or anything. Like that. There were other circumstances involved. But I found it really ministered to me. Because when I saw, even if I go back to Adam, he gave him the ability to name everything. He was in charge. But somewhere down the line, we gave all of that up and we lost our ability to lead. And all of a sudden, we've given other things to be the king. And I found out that's not true. So, let me go back to the word. First Peter, so I told you who you were. Now go to 2 Peter. And I'm going to read this scripture, and I'm going to get into my message. I hope I'm going to get to it. I might have to come back next week. And I'm supposed to be off next week, but I might come back. Okay, no. This is getting good to me. 2 Peter, right? Chapter 1, verse 15. 1 through 15. I may get there. Simon Peter, bondservant of the apostle Jesus Christ, to those who obtain like precious faith. Am I talking to the right people? I need to talk to people who got like precious faith. In other words, it's your faith like mine. And I got to tell you, I got strong faith in God. I'm believing in Him. And I need you to like precious faith. I believe that's who we are. Okay? So with like precious faith, listen. He said, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge. Somebody say knowledge. Of God and Jesus Christ. I want to make sure we get this, that you get the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. Because that is the key. Get to know me. That's what he says. Okay, those that know me, when we know who God is and we know what the word says, the chances for us erroring is less. I use an example of the young man when someone said something to him that didn't seem right. Right? His spirit man was a little itchy. It didn't. And he called. He called Pastor Rob, and then me and Pastor Rob happened to be together. And when he called, we was like, "No, that's not God. That's wickedness." Okay, and the calling on stuff in the darkness and dead and all this. You know, much we love our loved ones and all that, but it's not what he's, that's not God. Okay? So what happens, we have to be careful of practicing or going into something that can take us into darkness. There's a lot of that right now, and I'm telling you, that's why I want you to be knowledgeable. That's why I would share it. When we even read stuff, I have to know what the word says before I read somebody else's stuff that could take me into a place that God did not call me. And if I'm not ready, it'll overtake me. But when I'm built up, I can get the nugget and throw away the rest. The body is great for that. It's a little gross, but the body is great for that. You know, we eat a lot of stuff. But your body don't want all that stuff. So it deciphers, and once it gets in it and told it, he said, I need you to mutter. He tells Joshua, I need you to chew on this word of God day and night. Anybody ever seen a cow? It's called muttering. And when they mutter, they chew on hay. And I'm thinking, how in the world can the cow become off of hay. It chews the hay down to its lowest common denominator, and it takes the nutrients out of the grain. And it is the nutrients that causes the cow to grow. And then it does some other stuff. It goes through the body. And I don't know about you, but then I used to go down south. I didn't grow up there, my mother did. But I'd go down south and we'd walk in the fields. I didn't like walking in the fields because there were big piles of stuff that the cow would get rid of out of its body. And it was the stuff that it didn't want or use. But it grew on what it needed. That's what we need to do as the people of God. So there's some things out there we got to get the nuggets, because everything's not for us. Okay? But if you don't know that, you'll want everything. Give me a little of this. Give me a little of that. And you get me double up on that. I want some extra. Y'all know I'm talking to you. Right. So look what he says. He says, as the divine power has given unto us, verse 3, things that contain, this is important to all of you. I need everybody here to understand. His divine power has given to us. Somebody say me.
Me.
Because he's talking about us. Who's the us? The us is the church. The people that confess Jesus Christ as Lord. The people that committed to the ministry. The people that are doing the will and the work of God. The people who are trying to get in the right way. To get into the right direction. To know the truth. That's the us. I want to clearly tell you who us is. So he said, things that pertain to life. Remember, he's life. So I need him to give the things that pertain to life and godliness. Through, how am I going to get it? Through the knowledge. So the word knowledge brings me to the place called know. And knowing. Okay? I want to tell you the word knowing is also used in another way, and I'd like to make this one, it's a little personal, it's a little relational, because the Bible tells me early on that Abraham knew Sarah. It really has to do with intimacy. Too often, we don't want to be intimate with God to allow him in. We think we want to hide some stuff, we want to be strong for him, but what if we could just be intimate? And open up to allow God to know us for who we are. Now, he already does. You just don't. But he wants you to do it willingly. So he wants to know you. And so he says here, he says, so Peter is telling us, he says, listen, the divine power has given to us all things pertaining to life and godliness through, so that's the process that I've been through, the knowledge of him who called us to glory and virtue. So this is important because he's called us to glory and virtue. We've been called out of darkness. We've been called to operate in his glorious power. But people thought, the moment you'd been like me, see, I got saved, and I was looking like, all right, God, where's the spotlight? The spotlight should have shined on me. I should be up. Everybody should be looking at me, you know, because, oh, I remember when and I know where I came. Oh, and this should be a special moment. Well, it should have been only special for you, right? But we want to be seen, right? And I want to help you with that. We're going to deal with that in a minute, right? So he says here, he says, well, glory and virtue, but the glory is within him. And he said, I was looking around and I was like, why am I should be glowing and super light should be shining. He said, the light's on. He said, but you're a little young in the Lord right now, so you got a 25-watt bulb. He said, your bulb ain't that bright right now. I didn't get offended, but I was like, why not? And he said, because you got to grow in me. And he said, if you'll grow in me, And I don't know if y'all know what them CFL light bulbs, you know, you turn them on, they come on one way, but if you leave them on long enough, they get brighter, brighter. Are y'all getting it? So I want to be 100 watt, but it takes time to become 100 watt. Okay, so you got to spend time with him and in him. And all of a sudden, the more time I started spending with him, I looked around and watched it change. Yeah. So I want y'all to get this. It's a glory and virtue by which we have been given exceedingly great and precious promise. So I have a promise from God to be who I am. But promises are conditional. Why did you tell me that? They're conditioned upon your action. Faith without works. Y'all got it? If you don't do it, you don't get it. I'm going to help y'all here. So there's a difference of recognizing something and quitting something. I'm not a quitter. I don't quit anything. I may change some stuff, but I'm not quitting. And the reason I know you don't quit, a quitter, I can guarantee you one thing. No success. To keep going in what God's called you to go in the direction. Thank you, Lord. He said, no, don't tell them about just keep going. Tell them that the compass is speaking to them and follow the way. The moment I heard the compass, or even this, settled in, Pastor Rob will get this in a minute and understand why. When the moment I obey the direction he tells me to go in, immediately the weight can be lifted of being lost and hope and confidence of I'm going to get to my place of destination now re-arises. Which is what he's doing right now. So it's so important for us to get this. And he said, but for this, verse 5, for this very reason, giving all diligence, adding to your faith virtue, knowledge. And we're back to the word knowledge. And that gives me the knowing God. So I'm gonna jump out of that word right there for a minute, right? And I'm gonna go to this almost truth. So two almost truths that will cause failure in your life, right? I got some notes here. A recent report surveyed 11 studies globally indicated that young people in the English-speaking democracy are less happy and less satisfied with their lives than they were the past decade. It is no secret since COVID pandemic hit, researchers continue to find increase in people's depression and poor mental health. And so we've been wanting to deal with this, right? Because so the church, instead of helping people, dealing with people in the past, they demonized them. And so people felt uncomfortable coming to the church to get help. Am I telling the truth?
Well,
I'm glad this church is woke and listening to the voice of God.
I'm not going to say that.
I'm not demonizing anybody. And I ain't worried about no demon because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world.
Okay?
So my job is to get them free. And if you get them free so they can hear and so they can become and do what God is calling them. But so I found out I'm not the way. He's the way. He's the truth. And I can tell their life will change. Oh, God, that's good. Thank you, Jesus. So listen. While I'm no expert and do not have the thoughts of why this case, it has to deal with almost truths. That's what I'm concluding. I'm not an expert, but it's come to a case of almost truths. Okay? I've heard it said that the best lies is a half truth. Some brilliant lies are easily caught.
Didn't get the styrofoam.
But when you know the light isn't the way, I do this too. I have people ask you, and this was famous in the church. How you doing? How's everything? I'm blessed. Hallelujah. you know you have your mess right now. Everybody knows it, you know it, but you won't say it. And by the way, I think you know some about the stuff you don't say and you don't confess, God can't help you.
That's crazy.
I will not invade your life unless you ask me what happened. Now, I'm not God. I can't fix it. I can stand with you to see it. But I can also give you encouragement. I can also take you to the Word to make you stronger and make you see that when. So there's a purpose and a reason. That's what the leadership team of Harvest is designed to do. So what happens is, but if the enemy makes you feel uncomfortable, I don't want to talk to the pastor. I don't want him to know.
No, you can do this. Mitigate.
I don't want him to think bad.
That's why I'm talking
about changing. I have a right to help you. I just can I be real with y'all? This is what we're talking about. I'm tired of the church being beat up and it even happening because of how we do it.
To take the word.
So we made a decision. That's not going to happen here.
That's right.
Take out. You know the thing that hurts me the most?
Yes, I keep the glass.
Y'all want to know? You hurt? Yes, I'm doing.
I'm healing.
You know what hurts me the most? If somebody comes to me, ask me to pray, ask me to give them direction. I give them direction, and they take the other course.
We're killing our own.
Because guess what I got to do after that? I have to be quiet. I can't say anything else. I just have to watch them. And I've even seen some get mad and blame God. When God gave them the answer, but they went, all the compass is back into play, the opposite direction. So, almost truth contains pieces of partial truth. They seem as if there is something going for them. But easily believe. By the way, you know, there's the pressure tactic sales. You know, you got to do it. The reason they pressure you, right, you got to do it right now, is because it has no certainty to it. Most of them are going to cause you to just lose. Okay? There's rare chances that someone succeeds, but they need to do it because it sounds so good and it feels good. You know, even they take you to places and you see it and they present this to you and they want to sell you this packet. Oh, some of y'all, I love it. She laughed right then. I knew she'd been there on that one. All right? But because I made it look good before you, right? Only to find out I'm paying for something that I don't even have the time to use. Don't need. But they told you about how much you could save over 30 years. But you wasn't going to do the same thing for 30 years. But now, if you buy it, you're stuck to do it. Oh, yeah. Y'all know where I'm going. Let me stay away from that. I know some of y'all have been to that place. But hold it. This thing about being seen, you know, is also something. So we think the more I'm seen, the more... And this is real big, and I think it's the biggest and what I see in the entertainment field, and some of the people I know that are in entertainment or sports in there, these guys are of high level. What happens is they're used to being seen. They're used to the applause. They're used to the lights, right? But they get old, and they retire, like a short lived. I remember my daughter, she was graduating college. She's a gymnast. Now she was doing gymnastics since she was 4. And she was good. She was number one in Delaware for 10 years, right? And she's the first one in her gym to get a full scholarship. And she goes to Temple University and $120,000. So all my money that I spent on her all those years prior, I got it back. And I was happy, right? I was happy only to see her at graduation. She's out there on the floor. And the last time, or they're talking about that it was the last meet that she would ever be, and she was the captain of the team. But and I'm crying because I got a realization. She's 22 years old, and her gymnastic career is over. Man, that big hurt. I'm reminded right now Because I was like, oh, this is great. She can do this. And she's like, right. But it's not long lived. So we got to be careful about wanting to be seen.
I know you're right.
Because she's not going to get no more shots to be leading the team and be out there, right? Her body can't even take it. If you x-ray her, she got no cartilages between her knees or her ankles from the pounding on the floor. It's gone. Now, it's not bothering her, but her body doesn't look like yours and I's under x-ray. Because stuff ain't there no more. Right? Well, my point, but even in, with stars, they wanted to be seen. And too often, we listen to them because we think they arrived at being somewhere. Because they made some money. They made songs, or they did something great. But who made them? He said, tell them, who made them the truth, the way, and the life? They not. But we tend to believe that. So that's an almost truth, right? So we got a lot of young people, old too, following people that were seen. Being seen will fulfill you. It says celebrities and popularity will always be drawn to you from many. This is because being seen promises value and worth. Influencers, which is what I believe in leadership, and leadership is influence, but Miles Monroe said it like this, leadership is both positive and negative. Think about it, y'all. I don't know about you, but I plan on being on the side of God, which is positive influence. Okay, so he said, so content and creators and streamers and movie stars live glamorized, and thus we think, if only I could obtain that. I grew up as a young kid wanting to play football, and I used to, I love the Pittsburgh Steelers as well then, and the Iron Curtain, but I wanted to be Franco Harris. Yep, and I got, I asked the coach, yeah, give me, I want number 32. Okay, I was Doug Franco. I'm, you know, because he was an image of somebody I thought that I wanted to be, right? And I didn't know anything about his life. I didn't know about his lifestyle or any of those things. But what I do know is that he wasn't the way. He's not the truth. And he can't change my life. But there is the Lord Jesus Christ, who I discovered along the way. And that made a big difference. But let me see. So the almost truth is this. I'm going to give you three different categories. The almost truth is being seen does satisfy to an extent. We all live our lives looking for people and things that ascribe worth to them. Material objects and having value as they use as useful for us. And often we treat people the same. Thus, we think about being seen ourselves. We imagine that others will look to us and ascribe worth. Well, I gotta tell y'all something. I got a friend and he started making suits for me and helping me get the suits made that I wanted, right? And then the suits, I get my name in them. My name is in the suit. But I need everybody to know, so this is about things. The suit don't make me. What you wear doesn't make you. What you drive doesn't make you. Oh, you can have a whole lot of stuff. It will not make you. But what I discovered and learned is that I make the thing. It doesn't make me. I need y'all to know something about every designer that sells something. They want you to wear their stuff because you help make them. It requires you. Only Jesus tells us that. But we keep looking for somebody else. And I said, so that's almost true. But the lie is being seen through what portrays to be superficial and conditional. It is superficial because no one shares everything publicly. We ascribe the model, we share the best and hide the rest. No matter how much we share, the looming thought remains. If they really knew me, they wouldn't treat me like this. Our failures and our flaws are staring us in the face daily. It is conditional because your value becomes dependent on your performance. Your value from God is not based off of your performance. This thing is not that I have to perform from God. By the way, I need y'all to know something. You can't please God by performing, but you can please God by faith. So your faith in believing in what he says and in his word pleases him. So he loves you and ascribes to you to be what we want you to be just because of your faith. So I need everybody here to know you can't do enough. This has nothing to do with how good you are. You know, we used to see that you can bring the teacher a present and an apple. No, it's based off of what you know and how you perform on your tests. But by faith, how I trust God and listen to his voice. So when I obey God and listen to his voice, I'm pleasing God. That's the real pleasure. That's the real move. But see, I thought it didn't matter what I was seeing. It didn't matter what I had on. It didn't matter if I had a bright pink or yellow suit on. It didn't matter. Because that's not what he was looking at. He was looking at my heart and my actions. All right. So that's the lie. Listen, our failure and flaws are staring us in the face daily. The following describes the value to you as long as you're providing value to them. The loyalty, that's the whole thing too. We've given things value and power that doesn't belong to have power. The loyalty depends on your utility. Chasing celebrities and popularity promise value and worth, but delivers nothing. The truth is we were all born looking for someone, looking for us, but who we all seem by making all the difference. The Bible states that you are intimately known by God who sees you. And in Psalms 139, King David writes, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me." In Genesis 16:13, Hagar cries out and calls and says, "El Raha," which means the God who sees. And here is the difference between the superficial eyes and all the others, the fulfilling eyes of God. God sees you completely, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and chooses to love you, not for what you do, but for who you are. Somebody shout hallelujah. Glory to God. Now you got to know, Victoria, you're in the house because you wrote the song. We heard it yesterday.
Yeah.
You said that in some of your words. How do you know that?
Huh?
The Holy Spirit.
You coming up here?
The compass turned on. And you heard it. And you wrote it down.
I can't hear you well.
And I can't wait till other people hear it. And more hear it from somebody else. And not just from the pulpit. But what if they just heard it from somebody else, a lay person? How much more can make, because it's the truth. But it's in the word. It is the word. And I was able to share with him. I said, you didn't lose the gift. He just switched it. But who are you going to use it for? He bought the company. He bought the other guy out. Glory to God. That's the truth, right? So this was important because this is where I want to get. Hey, listen to this. Intuition over institution. Have you ever heard someone claim all religion teaches truth that leads one way or another to God? Little g. The idea is that life is one big mountain and we all are on our own path up to the top. If religion polarizes, it is a lie containing an almost truth. So this is not true. I want everybody to know that. Okay? If every way led to the same place, then Jesus died in vain. Because he's the only one to die, by the way. And came back. He defeated death for you and I. Glory to God. So listen. The underlying belief is that anyone can follow whatever they feel is right. Because at the end, we all end up at some paradise. That's a lie. It states that our religion's quest, we fundamentally follow our institution, our intuition, rather than the institution. The almost truth is institution is a guide of sort, is a guide of sort. But everyone is created in the image of God, which means we have a moral compass. Hello? Testifying to what is right and wrong. In Romans 2, Paul states that God's law is written on our hearts and our conscience bears witness. See, yes. Remember, that's what happens. Our conscience now is bearing witness to the truth. Whether someone knows or follow God or not, everyone knows right and wrong. And that's what we said, that person who does something so weird, they don't have a conscience. No, they do. They chose not to follow it. Everyone knows. Right? That's the almost truth. The lie is why our intuition may guide us. It's not centered on what has actually fulfilled us. Instead, we think it will fulfill us. It's centered on immediate pleasure and immediate gain. Jeremiah 17:9 states that the heart is deceitful above all things. James 1:14 through 15 says, temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us to drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it will give birth to death. What matters is not what we think will gratify us, but what will actually fulfill. Our hearts may know right and wrong, but they're a terrible guide to real fulfillment. Here's the truth. Here's the truth, y'all. Y'all ready for the truth? Y'all already got it. In John 14:6, Jesus states, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is a guide we should follow, and he reveals himself and his design through the word of God. To follow one's intuition is like saying to God, even though you created me and actually think I know better, this is fruitful. Flourishing is found in knowing God, letting yourself be known by him, and walking in his design. There really is one way to salvation, and it is through Jesus. And that is the good news. As Christians, we must train ourselves to spot these almost truths in culture. This is why I was teaching this. How can we do this? Compare the claim to Scripture. That's what I've been trying to get y'all to. Stop listening to everything everybody say it said that you ain't going to check it for yourself. That book hasn't changed in 2,000 years. I know there's a different bunch of versions and drafts of them, right? King James, the NIV, the Message, everybody got one, right? But they all say the same thing. They use different words, but at the end of the day, they say the same thing. The book hasn't changed. So you want to compare something, you got to compare it to the book. I'm almost done now. So listen, what he said, compare the claim to Scripture and ask what it's promising. What will deliver and how it differs from Scripture. Ask what the almost truth, the lie, and the real truth is. In this, we will find our true Christianity. When we walk in God's good design, the rest is in his view of us, and rest in his view of us, we will fulfill and are empowered to do good in this world. It's true, because it's true, it works. Somebody shout hallelujah. He is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. We need to walk in that. We need to follow that. That's what we need. I was commissioned to share this with you because I guess I myself know how much falsity and how he has also penetrated and infiltrated, and Pastor, you can appreciate this, but he's infiltrated and penetrated the church, the very vessel in which God was wanting to use on his behalf. So it is left up to people like us, you and I, who put our trust not in each other, but in the Word of God. That's what I'm commissioning all of you today, is put your trust and your faith in the Word of God. And we leaders who are here and at avail to you must teach and preach the Word of God. That's what we're commissioned to. I charge you. Y'all know what a charge is, and I'm making you responsible to find out who you are and whose you are through the Word of God. Knowledge is power. I didn't say read the Bible from front cover to back.
What's going on, bro?
It's not what I'm asking you to do. What I'm asking you to do is pray and ask God to direct you in the Bible where to go for what he needs to say to you. In fact, don't even open it unless you pray first and ask him. I'm out of time. Don't even do that. Don't waste your time. Ask him to say, you pray. Simple. God, can you show me in your word today where to go and what you want to say to me?
Yeah.
Be interested in you saying, most holy, elaborate God, from on high, if you would, we're not interested in that.
He said elaborate.
That's not going to help. That will do nothing for you. But have a simple conversation. God, I need you today. Can you help me? I want to be better today than I was yesterday. Can you guide me to the place where you're helping? So, and I know this to be true because I've been praying for about you guys. And I can tell you, I'm so excited about my heart. Okay? And when he can place a message on your heart and in your head that you didn't have a nanosecond ago. I got a bunch of stuff on paper. I read that to y'all. That I studied and I wrote down. But how awesome it is when God speaks. The compass starts to turn and it spins. And he talks. He gives you direction. Encourage you. Not one of you have the same fingerprint, which means we all know in part. But he all knows you, who you are, and who you can be. The enemy is concerned about who you can be because it is a threat against him. Come on, give the Lord a round of applause right there. He is the way, the truth, and the life. We need to make sure that we don't allow half-truths, because a half-truth is a lie. A lie will not fulfill or get me to where I need to be. But the truth can. And you ever heard the statement, the truth hurts? Most of the time, a lie is easier. Most of the time, the lie is easier. But that's not, it won't get you to where you need to be. So, we're on a quest. You're on a quest. And I had to set up the here. There's, at Harvest, I'm excited about what God's here. In fact, God's saying he's unleashing some things. And he's giving me another opportunity. And But there's a place in John chapter 17. He says, I pray for you, for what you said will make a difference in other people's lives. So now he's praying for the people who are looking to make disciples of other people based off of what they said and their experience with God. So in other words, all of you, the people you know, some of y'all know this in trouble. You say, man, I wish they would come and be here with me today to hear what I'm hearing, because I know so-and-so needs this. Well, you just need to pray for them and get a chance to start. But they need to, they have to find it for themselves. You can't do it. But you can give them the word. And they may never hear me, but they can hear you. So I'm charging you to open your mind and share with God and say what he's done. What an opportunity for us to, as we remain and to create and make disciples. This is what this is about. Okay, I'm not looking for you to be like me. In fact, none of you will ever be me. You can't. I can't be you. But we can be who God's called us to be. And corporately, we can be of one mind. Amen. Let's be the one body. Let's give the Lord a round of applause. Thank you, Harvest. Thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing me to speak and share into your life this morning. I thank you for this time. We're going to get ready for our tithe and offering. We're going to get ready. And, you know, this is something I'm a big believer in. And I've talked about tithes and offering.